Amen. Good job, Jesse. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to start off in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to be in a few places tonight, but Galatians chapter 1. I told you that we're going to emphasize the subject of missions through all of our messages in the month of February, because February being missions emphasis month. And I was praying and studying this afternoon and just asking what the kind of the direction the Lord wanted me to go as far as this idea of missions. And then the Lord kind of gave me this idea of, obviously, the subject of missions is the gospel. Amen? Is getting the gospel to the world. But, unfortunately, not everybody knows the right gospel. There is what the Bible calls, and we're going to read this in our passage tonight, there is another gospel. And so I'm going to take the Thursday nights in the month of February, and I'm going to teach you, I guess maybe you could call it, you could label them as cults or other teachings, but I'm going to show you what is and what is not the true gospel. And we're going to look at some different things and give you some things that will help you. Because here's the thing, folks, I promise you this, the devil is very busy at deceiving and confusing and blinding the minds of the people of this world. Amen? And if we're not careful as Christians, we start buying into some of that stuff, and maybe we start thinking, well, is that really what the Bible says? And the devil's good at bringing doubt into our minds. So we're going to look at some things from a biblical perspective. I'm going to give you some things in the next several midweek services about this idea of cults or another gospel. So if find your place here, Galatians chapter 1. Stand with me together as we read the first nine verses of Galatians chapter 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, I'm not preaching on that verse tonight, but that verse will preach right there. Amen? And who was it that called Paul? Jesus and the Father, and the power of all that is all wrapped up in that first verse there. Number two, and all the brethren which are with me into the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, here it is, another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Help us tonight, Lord, as we study your word, that God, our hearts and minds and beliefs would be solidified, Lord, in your word, and what you say is truth. And Lord, there's a lot of untruth out there. There's a lot of deception out there. And Lord, the best thing we can do as Christians, Lord, to protect ourselves from that is to know exactly what the truth is. And I pray now as we dive into this tonight, you'd help us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice what Paul says there in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. I mean, it surprised Paul that there were people that he had won to Christ that was part of the church of Galatia here, that, you know what, they already had allowed something else to influence their belief system. Let me just say this, folks. The devil will try to do that to you. He'll try to get other things to influence things, how you believe. Now, particularly here, it's about the fact of what the true gospel is. But you know what? The devil can't get you to change your mind about salvation and the fundamental truths of the Word of God. He'll take what he can get, amen? And he'll start chipping away at your belief system. And before long, you know what? You'll be doubting, you'll be struggling to even figure out what is right and what is wrong. I just heard the story this week of a missionary, and that was actually supported by the church that I'm from. And in fact, I was at the church when this missionary came through. He claims to be who we are, claims to, you know, believe how we believe, but now, as a missionary in the foreign field, is justifying drinking alcohol. And here was a missionary that's been supported by churches and had all kinds of excuses of why, the Bible really says it's okay to do. And it's just amazing how the devil will do that and start chipping away at to what the Bible says about stuff. But what we're going to look at particularly tonight, we're going to look at how the devil works as far as getting people to believe things that, as Paul said here in Galatians, is what's considered as another gospel. I mean, the church directory in the average listings. I used to say the yellow pages. I don't think anyone even uses a phone book anymore, all right? But in Google, whatever, all right, is filled with all kinds of religious ideas and movements that are in existence today. And if you examine the teachings of these groups, it shows that a lot of them actually proclaim another gospel. And some of these, we would identify them as cults or sects. But while many of them had their beginning in the early 19th century or earlier, if you study them out, their greatest growth has taken place since 1900, and in many cases, since the end of World War II. And so what we've got to do as Christians is be able to examine and see what is right and what is wrong, again, based upon what the Bible says. Amen? And figure out that, understand that there's going to be these types of teachings. There's going to be these types of what Jesus called false prophets, and know how to identify them and not allow them to change our belief system. Okay? Now I'll just say this. I pray that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. By the way, that's what God wants. Amen? The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That doesn't please God one bit that someone believes a false gospel and because of that is going to spend an eternity in hell. That doesn't please the Lord. Listen, I would pray that men's eyes would be open to the truth. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, people that are settled in their belief system, it's hard, barring a miracle of God, to get them to pull away out of that. Now, I will say this, it does happen, amen? In fact, I got a book that I think I've told you this before. It's called Winning the Witnesses, and it's a story. I'm sorry, not a story, but it's the testimony of a man who used to be a Jehovah's Witness. He got saved, and he led so many other Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord in the town he was from that the JWs had to close down their kingdom hall. And he writes in this book the strategy that he uses because he used to be on how to win a witness. And that was the title of the book, Winning the Witnesses. And so I'm not saying other people out of these cults and other false teachings can't come to the knowledge of the truth, but here's the main thing, okay, is that I'm not going to allow them to influence what I believe, amen? And you know, as a Christian, you've got to know what you believe, you got to be solid and strong in what you believe, because I'm going to tell you, the devil's slick, these people are slick, and if you're not careful, they can sway you from the truth. And I wouldn't want that to be said of me, and I wouldn't want that to be said of you. In fact, when we study the Sermon on the Mount, remember back in Matthew chapter 7 what Jesus said? Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And notice what he said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." I'm going to tell you right now, if you as a Christian will stay in the Word of God and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, you will know what's right and you will know what's wrong. Okay, I promise you, you will. And you won't get sucked into this stuff. Let me show you a couple other passages before we go into deeper into this. You're already in Galatians. Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the next book back, not too far from where you're at. Notice what we see here in verses 13 through 15. And again, this is Paul instructing the church of Corinth here. And if you know anything about the church of Corinth, it was a messed up church. They were a very carnal, fleshly church. And there was a lot of problems that Paul had to deal with. So it's no surprise that we see this subject brought up when it comes to the church of Corinth. Look at verse 13. Okay, it says this, "For such are false apostles." Now notice here, false apostles. So that means this, they're portraying themselves to be like the apostles, but they're false apostles, okay? Deceitful workers. Did you hear that? They're deceitful. And then notice what he says this, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, that's all about deception. That's all about being able to appear to be something they're not. Okay, and then, and notice what he says here, verse 14. And no marvel, or you know what? You really shouldn't think that's a big deal. Why? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay? And again, folks, you've heard me say this before, and I believe this 100%, but I believe right here tonight, if Lucifer himself, the devil himself, were standing up here, most people would have a hard time telling the difference between him and Jesus Christ if Jesus Christ was standing up here. Because let me tell you the devil's goal. It's not to be opposite of God. It's to be so much like God he can deceive people. Okay? And notice what he says here. He's transformed into an angel of light. Let me tell you something. The devil is not what Hollywood has made him to be. Okay? He's not this evil-looking person with this hideous-looking face and these fangs and, you know, and a pitchfork and a red tail. I mean, I'm not saying that maybe at some point he can't transform himself into that, possibly. The Bible calls him the great dragon. We know that. But I'll just say this. The devil doesn't want people to think that's who he is. Okay? Or he does want people to think that's who he is, because when he comes to them in his true form, he'll deceive them. Okay? How come is it when you hear people that have these near-death experiences? You know, they're always talking about, you know, going through a tunnel and going to the light, right? And a lot of these people that say that are people who, you know, don't claim to know Jesus as their Savior, but they're always going to the light, always going to the light. Well, I have no doubt that they're maybe seeing some light, but let me tell you, they're not seeing the light of God. They're seeing this right here. They're seeing Lucifer, who is the angel of light. Transforms himself into that. So you got to be very careful to not get sucked into these false teachings. One more place I want to show you here. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And you probably know where I'm going in this passage. But again, the Bible warns us of false teachers, false prophets, and here, false spirits. False spirits. 1 John chapter 4, and beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because notice this, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come, and now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I know we talk and we use that verse there about greater is he that is in us and he that's in the world to talk about that, you know what, God's more powerful than the devil. And no doubt you could take that truth to be true. But notice here, particularly the context of that is talking about this idea of false spirits and false teachers. And talking about the fact, because the Spirit of God's in you, because He's greater, He will let you know what is right and what is wrong. Amen? And again, notice that there's many false spirits. Again, people in our day and age, they like throwing that term out there a lot. Oh, I just feel the Spirit. I feel the Spirit. And here's my question is, which spirit are you feeling? Because the true Spirit in the Bible has a first name, and you know what it is? Holy. So if what you're feeling the Spirit in isn't holy, doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're not feeling a Spirit of God, you're feeling a false spirit. Okay? And listen, folks, it's not about, by the way, how you feel. So many people, literally, I'm amazed at how many people literally base all their belief system on how they feel about things. Okay? I'm just telling you right now, I don't always feel saved. Okay? You know why? Because some days my flesh makes me feel like I'm not saved. I don't always feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But listen, I don't base what I believe on my feelings. I base it upon the principles of the Word of God. And listen, as a Christian, you got to stop going by feeling. Feelings aren't wrong, by the way, but you cannot be led by them and guided by them. Because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about our feelings, about our heart. It's desperately wicked, who can know it. Okay? And so you don't go by feelings, you go by principles. Amen? And the principles of the Word of God. So the Bible here tells us to try or to test the spirits whether they be of God. And again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Peter warns. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Listen, this was going all the way back in Jesus' day. It's never stopped. It never will stop. In fact, it's increasing the nearer we get to the coming of the Lord. Okay? I mean, folks, listen, think about this. I mean, this world is being prepped right now for when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Hook, line, and sinker, this lost world's going to follow him. I told my wife, we were driving to Indy yesterday, and we were listening to a little bit of the political news going on. And, you know, it's no surprise to me that the Antichrist is going to be able to deceive people just like that because of the division in our country, the division literally going on around the world, and everything that's the turmoil and everything that's going on. So when the man of false peace comes on the scene, it's no wonder that people are just going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, you can see this thing playing out before our very eyes, okay? And so you cannot be deceived by these types of things, all right? Now, again, let's get back to this another gospel thing. There's four important conclusions that can be reached about what the true faith is. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Jude, the book of Jude. And then, of course, that is the book right before the book of Revelation. And I'm sure you knew this, but Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. And in fact, when the Bible talks about that, even his brethren rejected him when he was here. At first, they didn't believe. It wasn't until Jesus accomplished his ministry that more than likely is when Jude was saved. But he was a half-brother here. He was the brother also of James. And so what we see here, notice what he says in the book of Jude, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says this, it says, beloved, again, who's he writing to here? The church, beloved, beloved. Did you see how many times when it's warning about false teachers and false prophets, it was directed to the beloved? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's some conclusions that are some principles that you can look at that can be made based upon what Brother Jude was saying here. First of all, you can say this, there is only one faith. Notice what he said here, the faith, amen, as in singular, not plural. Now I know in the ecumenical world we're living in, you know, everybody wants to tout their faith, okay? But let me tell you something, we may be a country of many faiths, but we only serve a God of one faith. Okay, and that word faith has kind of been thrown out there as this umbrella term in believing basically anything you want to believe in. You know, as long as you believe in it, it's got to be true. It's got to be right. Well, you know, that's really a pretty, you know, dumb philosophy. I mean, have you ever, you know, sincerely thought you believed something was true and it ended up being not true? I mean, sure, I have, right? I mean, you know, people can believe what they want. But remember this, church, it doesn't matter what we believe. It only matters what the truth is. Okay? I mean, you can believe the sky is orange, but it's not. Okay? I mean, you can believe I'm going to hand you a $100 bill when you walk out of here tonight, but I'm not. Okay? I mean, you can believe anything you want to believe, but it doesn't matter. It only matters what truth is. Amen? And so Jude here talks about the faith. So there's only one faith. And then he said this, the faith was once delivered. And what that means is once for all. Okay? And that is what it all revolves around Jesus Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. All those Old Testament animal sacrifices all pointed toward him, and he fulfilled all that. And listen, it was once delivered, it was once for all, and it was all summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And then he also says that Christians are to earnestly contend for the faith. That word contend, it means to struggle for. And you know what? Let me tell you something. If you're struggling for something, that means you got to struggle against something. All right? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's worth struggling. It's worth fighting for. And what he's telling us is this. And by the way, how true that is. I mean, our presidents had to stand up and basically defend what this country was founded upon as far as Christian faith, prayer, and cited many examples of how people of faith, even in America, have been persecuted. Why? Because they believe in the truth. And that's going on right now in our country, you know, the country of faith. You know, people being persecuted for their faith. And let me tell you right now, what's happening in America is going on 10 times worse around other places in the world. China right now is literally cracking down on churches. They're burning churches to the ground. They're persecuting Christians. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the true faith, you got to struggle for it, amen? Not struggle to obtain it, but you got to contend to keep it, amen? Because there's always people out there that are trying to subvert the faith and to try to destroy it. They're never going to destroy it, but they try to. They rise up against it. And that leads me to the last thing Brother Jude said, is that there are enemies of the faith. Enemies of the faith. If you don't think that's true, in public, start getting vocal about Jesus Christ. And you know what you're going to find out? There are enemies of the faith. Okay? And so, all that being said, we've got to, as Christians, know that what is truth and what is not truth. All right? Because there's a lot of people out there that think they're right, say they're right, but according to the Bible, they're not. Now listen to me. I'm not one of these guys that believes that we're the only, you know, true church, you know, in our area. I don't believe that. But I will just say this, okay? We are a church that take a strong stand on the Word of God. By the way, the King James Bible, amen? All right? And anybody that is preaching another gospel is not a true church. I don't care what their sign says. I don't care what they call themselves. They're not if they're preaching something else different from this book. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of them that are. You know how I know? Because I've talked to them. Okay? I ask them, you know, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, I think I am. What do you mean you think you are? Well, you know what? If I'm good enough, then God might let me in one of these days. That's not the true gospel. Okay? Well, you know, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, you know, as long as I, you know, check this box and do this and do that, you know, and all my good works line up and I'm going to go to heaven. Listen, that's another gospel. Okay? And so I'm telling you, folks, there are a lot of people out there that think they're part of the truth, but they're not. Not according to what I say, according to what the Word of God says. So let's start breaking this thing down. What makes up a cult, or what makes up someone who believes another gospel? Okay? Let me just say this. In all reality, folks, and I know the word religion is thrown out there, okay? By the way, I don't particularly like that word, okay? I don't consider myself religious. I consider myself in a relationship. Okay? And I use that line on people a lot, okay? When I'm out talking to people, I say, what would you think if I told you I wasn't religious? Well, they kind of start chuckling. Well, you're a pastor. Of course you're religious. I said, you know what? I'm not religious, but I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. By the way, there's a difference, amen? Because let me tell you what religion does. Religion, in its attempt, tries to find its way to God on its terms. Okay? But relationships comes to God on His terms. Amen? And that's what we see all the way back. All the way back to the very beginning. It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. I mean, you have the salvation that tries to find salvation as a work of man. By the way, that is why God rejected Cain's sacrifice. It wasn't because God favored Abel above Cain. It's because Cain, the Bible says, brought of the fruit of the ground, brought what his hands wrought, and whereas Abel brought the lamb, which was a blood sacrifice. Let me tell you, you're not going to get to God apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? It's only through the blood, amen? And we'll proclaim that until the day we die, because that's what you're going to, if you're going to find the Lord, you're going to find Him through the blood. And true Christianity always attributes salvation to God alone. Okay? So there is your main difference. All right? You either have do, I've got to do, I've got to do, or guess what? It's already done. Amen? Now, I know there's a lot of other
things that people believe that would aren't according to the Bible. But I'll just say this, that is what determines whether or not someone is truly born again or not. Is what are they believing when it comes to salvation? Is there something you have to do to be saved? Or are you trusting solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary and through His shed blood? The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, very famous passage of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, listen to this, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't see how people try to explain that verse away. The Bible is very clear, it's not of works. Why? Because if it was of works, we'd all be bragging about it, amen? Well, look what I did to get to heaven. Look what I did to impress God. It is not of works, amen? It's by grace through faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so this idea of false religion and cults has been around again since Cain and Abel, and it has never stopped since. All right. Now to kind of understand where we got to where we're today. Okay, I mean, open the phone book. You know, I haven't counted them, but I'm sure in our county there's probably over 100 different churches. I'm sure at least. Okay, how do we get to that? How come there's a fraction of every supposedly belief of all this? I mean, where did all that come from? We need to understand a little bit about history, okay, and church history in particular, okay? If you kind of trace everything back, this world's been in existence for approximately 6,000 years. God started this thing at creation. And He's going to end this thing pretty soon, I believe. Amen? But so pretty much you've had, and I'm going to kind of give you a brief explanation of this. I'm not going to go into super in-depth. But pretty much all you've had from Cain and Abel. All right, or I'm sorry, from Seth and Cain, because Abel was martyred, okay? So from Seth and Cain, you've pretty much always had the true followers of Jehovah God. Then you've had paganism. Okay, people who believe directly opposite of God. And the Old Testament is filled with that. Okay, and you could trace all the way back to the Canaanites and the reason God had them go in there and wipe out the Canaanites was because of who those people were, what they believed, what they practiced. Listen, folks, those were some wicked, depraved people. Okay, and how do we know that? Because you read the law that God gave Israel before they went into Canaan land. All of the wicked things that God forbids Israel to do, why do you think God told them specifically what not to do? Because that's what was going on in Canaan land. The wickedness. Things I wouldn't even say in a mixed crowd. Okay, and so you pretty much have always had true Christianity and paganism. Okay, and you pretty much could trace that all the way up to the time of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there's different facets of paganism, I understand that. But for the most part, there's been true followers of God in paganism, all right, up until the time of Christ. And then, of course, Christ came along and started His church. And for the first couple hundred years of church history, all right, that still kind of continued. You had the true followers of God, you had paganism. And then came a very interesting thing. In the year 313 AD. There was a man named Constantine. And Constantine was a man who was trying to conquer and tried to lead his army in conquering. And Constantine had a vision. And the vision he had was of a fiery red cross in the sky. And on the cross was written the words, of course, back then it was in Latin, but it was in English, it's translated, "In this thou shalt conquer." All right? And that's what the Constantine saw. And he took that, he interpreted that to mean that, you know what? He was going to conquer the world through Christianity. And he interpreted that, you know what? He could stand up against paganism, and he could attach spiritual power of the Christian religion to the temporal power of the Roman Empire so that the world could be conquered. And what you have, what Constantine started, is what eventually became known as Roman Catholicism. A marrying of Christianity to the state. Okay? And so then came along the Catholic Church. And through that, okay, down through the middle centuries there, you had a lot of persecution going on. Because here's the thing, if people disagree with the Catholic Church, you read all the stories. Fox's Book of Martyrs, and those, you know, most of those are filled with stories of the early martyrs being put to death. And you know who was putting most of them to death? It wasn't the pagans, it was the Catholic Church. Study our history, okay, our Baptist history, all right? So even through all that, the true church still continued to go forward. Now, I think when Brother Joe Asbury was here a year ago, he kind of talked more in depth about this. And they were known as different names, okay? And they were known as the Waldesians and many other different names based upon the regions of the world they lived in, okay? Well, then what you had... You had, as people were coming to the truth and were being saved out of the Catholic Church, okay, out of Catholicism, that they would then baptize the converts that came out of Catholicism. Because one of the main tenets of Catholicism is infant baptism. Okay, and so what they would do is, once they would truly be saved, then they would rebaptize the ones that were saved out of Catholicism, thus the name Anabaptist. And that word Anna means re. Okay, so basically we're calling them rebaptizers. And if you want to know why we're called Baptist today, it has nothing to do with John the Baptist other than the fact he was probably known as that because he baptized, okay? But the reason we're called Baptist today is because we were part of that group that never was part of the Catholic Church and that was got the name Anabaptist because when people were saved out of the Catholic Church, we'd rebaptize them, and that's where the term Baptist came from. It used to be Anna. Later on, they dropped the Anna, and then it was Baptist. Okay? Let me just say this. Baptists are not Protestants. Know your history. Okay? What's a Protestant mean? What's that word come from? It comes from the word protest. The Protestants were the one that protested the Catholic Church and came out of the Catholic Church. Men like Luther, Martin Luther. You know the story where he nailed the 95 Theses to the doors there of the church. Okay, he was a Catholic priest. He got saved by reading the verse, "The just shall live by faith." And he got saved from that, and thus he protested, and thus the term Reformation. He tried to reform the Catholic Church. Okay, but you know what he found out? He wasn't reforming that. Okay, and he was persecuted by the Catholic Church. But let me just say this, Protestants aren't Baptists. Let me tell you why. Because as Baptists, we were never part of the Catholic Church. Okay, and that's our history. And then, as you come down through history into more modern day, all the Protestant groups started splintering into everything that we have today. Okay, and so that's just a basis there of church history. And what I'm going to do here in the next several weeks, I'm going to show you some of the main teachings of different, you know, religious movements of the day and show you why they are not true Christianity. I'm going to go through their belief system with you. I'm going to show you the things they believe and show you why it is not true Christianity. So there are some distinct traits of a cult or a distinct trait of some one who preaches another gospel. One of their distinct traits is that they have an extra scriptural source of authority, or they take scripture out of context. For example, if you ever talk to the JWs and they've come by your house, what do they always material they have? Okay, it's from a publishing company known as, y'all know what it is, the Watchtower. Right? And let me tell you, by the way, one of the strategies in talking to a Jehovah Witness is to crack their faith in the Watchtower, because they do not interpret the scripture on its own. They interpret it through what the Watchtower tells them to interpret it. Okay? And so the JWs had the Watchtower. The Mormons, amen? And they have the what? The Book of Mormon. Okay? Now, they have the Bible together with these, although, by the way, not a King James Bible. That'll tell you something right there. Okay, that's a whole other subject we'll get into one of these days, all right? They have one, but that's not their sole source of authority. It's their book. By the way, the Watchtower is a publication that's put together by a group out of Brooklyn, New York. Okay, men write that. Okay, the Book of Mormon was written by a man named Joseph Smith. Study Joseph Smith. The guy was a whack job. Okay, study him. In fact, the whole Book of Mormon is based upon Joseph Smith falling into an occultic trance, okay, and, you know, was delivered to him by a golden salamander, all right, and the angel Moroni. I'm serious. Study the history. But they're basing everything they believe, they're basing their eternity off something like that. Okay, the Muslims, of course, have the Quran. The Hindus have the book of ancient writings known as the Bhagavad Gita, and on it goes. Okay, and so all the distinctive traits of a cult is that they have an extra scriptural source of authority, or they take scripture grossly out of context. Number two, they deny justification by grace alone. That's a huge one right there. Okay, they deny that. And I'm going to tell you again, if you want to find out if someone is true or not, figure out what they're trusting in to get them to heaven. Okay, and they deny that. They have the devaluation of Christ. A lot of these false cults or people who believe in another gospel do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. In fact, the JWs, the Mormons, they don't believe He was God at all. They believe He was a creation of God. Well, that right there ought to tell you something, okay? They believe that the group, as an exclusive community, are the only ones that can go to heaven, okay? Now, let me just say this, all right? I don't believe, nor does the Bible teach, you have to be a Baptist to go to heaven, okay? The Bible doesn't teach that. All right, now, if you want to go first class, you're going to be a Baptist, amen? But listen, you can be, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone, then you're going to. I've met some Catholic people before. When I've questioned them, they claim salvation by grace through faith, and you know what? They're saved. They're on their way to heaven, okay? Because it's not just a distinctive group going to heaven. It's whoever believes in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So I guess it is a distinctive group, but it's not a religious, you know, movement, if you will. Amen? It's belief and faith in Christ and Him alone. But you know what? That's true. You talk to particularly to the JWs, and you know, who's going to heaven? Only 144,000 is going to heaven. Okay, which again, grossly taking Scripture out of context. Everybody else is just going to stay here on the earth, and they're just representing what the Scripture teaches. Okay, and so what you find out is that billions of people across this planet are being deceived by these false cults and false religions. And I'm not going to give you all the stats. I've done that before. But if you add up all the false religions that clearly deny Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, including people that would consider themselves atheists, people that would consider themselves no religion at all, they make up 89% of the world's population. So it's no wonder Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction," right? Okay? And so people are deceived into these things. Amen? You say, why are people deceived and led into these cults? Well, folks, you got to understand the universal battle that's fought between good and evil. Let me tell you what Satan's goal is. To blind men's eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ. He'll do that any way possible. Any way possible. He doesn't care what he uses as long as people are blinded to the truth. Let me say this. True Satanism, again, is not what Hollywood portrays it to be. All right? Now, I know there's people out there who wear black hoods and, you know, worship around a pentagram and kill goats and all that. I know that that's true. That's real. But that's not true Satanism, okay? True Satanism, what's going to populate the fires of hell more than anything else, isn't that stuff. It's false religion. It's people who were, you know what, they were so close to the truth, they had some of the truth, but it was tainted with error, okay? And let me tell you what's, again, very distinctive about these false cults. They're not 100% error and 0% truth, okay? Because if that was the case, no one would follow them, all right? They may be 80% truth, but 20% error. But it's enough error to keep you from being saved, amen? I mean, folks, come on. If I had a glass up here, you know, a 60-ounce glass full of water and had one drop of cyanide in it, would you still drink it? Well, the majority of it's water, right, but it only takes a little bit to kill you, okay? And that's what's true about this false religion. And people are deceived into that. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." All right? And let me tell you, that's what the devil's done. He's blinded them because they don't understand the gospel. It's almost like there's a, literally, they have spiritual blinders on. Some of you that have been saved out of that stuff know exactly what I'm talking about. You've told me before. You know what? I just didn't, until I got saved, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But now that I'm saved, everything's different. Amen? You know why? Because you were once blind, but now you can see. Amen? And so the devil his goal is to deceive. How does he do this? He does it with human representation. That's how he does it. Okay? And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember the verse we read? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You've probably seen some of these TV shows before. Maybe you remember back to the Branch Davidian cult led by David Koresh. And you might remember how that, you know, that man, based upon his teaching, claiming to be God, but was actually a pervert, by the way. Okay, impregnating all kinds of underage and teenage girls, claiming to be God. How in the world did he get these people to follow him? How do people like these people out west in Utah that have these Mormon cults, you know, get such a big following, get people to follow? You know why? Because they're deceptive, that's why. And people, instead of looking to the truth, they listen to a man, listen to a person, and they're led into that. That's why, I don't care who it is, I'm even saying this about myself, all right? If you're sitting under someone who's teaching you and leading you, you better make sure they're leading you according to the Word of God. Okay? Listen, I hold myself accountable to this book right here. And you ought to hold me accountable to this book right here. Okay? And you ought to know what truth is. So you know what? If God forbid, I would say something that would be deceptive, or someone else would come in here and say something that's deceptive, immediately you would know about it. Amen? You know why? Because you know the truth. And a true preacher is going to point you toward the Word of God, not pull you away from the Word of God. Amen? Because that's what the preacher wants. He wants his people in the Word. So why do these cults grow? Okay, how do they do that? Well, they do that by enlisting large number of laymen. They use home doctrinal studies. They're skillful. They have skillful methods of making converts. They use mass media. They public. They publish and distribute large quantities of attractive literature. They have strong financial support, and they make efforts to meet human needs. And again, look at some of this stuff and what they do. All right? I don't think it's wrong to help mankind in a humanitarian way. But let me tell you, listen, man's main problem isn't a humanitarian problem, it's a spiritual problem. Amen. Okay? Now, I think you can come alongside and do both, but the primary ought to be the spiritual need. Amen? And so all these cults are a challenge to the true church of Jesus Christ. You know what? They've confronted the true church. So unfortunately, sometimes they make the true church stutter and stammer on why we believe what we believe. But let me say this. It's time, as the true church of Jesus Christ, we know what we believe, why we believe it. Yes, maybe we can try to witness to some and pull them out, but mainly so they do not influence us. Amen? And remember this, the goal of a Christian is not necessarily to change the world, it's to keep the world from changing you. And in turn, you'll be able to change the world. Amen? All right? So know what you believe, why you believe it, and let's not get sucked into false doctrine and these cults. Many more things we're going to talk about the next few weeks, but I pray this was a help and a blessing to you, and let's close.